This morning we want to consider, with the Lord's help, another one of the women that we find in God's holy word. And today, as we've already mentioned, we want to look at Mary. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could safely say that Mary was one of the best mothers any son could ever have. And we read there in the verse 28, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Commenting on this passage of Scripture, Bishop J.C. Ryle, first bishop of Liverpool, England, said this: "We have in these verses the announcement of the most marvelous event that ever happened in this world, the incarnation and birth of our Lord Jesus Christ." He goes on to say, it is a passage which we should always read with mingled wonder, love, and praise. And that is what we intend to do today and the incoming weeks with the Lord's help. For in considering this heavenly communication with this woman called Mary, we are reminded of the words that were spoken to Moses as he beheld the burning bush. For a voice came to Moses out of the burning bush saying, "Put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And the Holy Spirit here in this portion of Scripture has permitted us to listen in on the conversation between this heavenly angel Gabriel and Mary. And when you look at the events that accompanied this announcement, you will find that many of the events themselves point to the coming Christ. We are specifically told when this heavenly announcement was made. We're told in verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." And so this announcement was made to Mary when it was the sixth month with Elizabeth, who was expecting John the Baptist. Now, I believe that is very significant. It was the sixth month with Elizabeth when the announcement was made about the birth of Christ. Because, you see, six in Scripture is the number of man. And the announcement that was made to Mary was to tell her that the Son of the Highest was about to become man. That the child that she would bear would be the Son of the Highest, would be the Son of God, but he would also be the Son of man. And so it is very significant then that the announcement was made at that particular time. We not only have the month, we also have the messenger. For here we are given the name of the angel that contacted Mary and made this announcement. His name is Gabriel. And this again I feel is very significant, that it was Gabriel who was sent by God to make this announcement to Mary. Because you see, Gabriel means God is mighty. God is mighty. Gabriel had been sent to Elizabeth, Zacharias, and made the announcement to them that they were going to be parents in their old age. Naturally speaking, it would have been impossible for Elizabeth to have a child. But then, God is mighty. And we are told in verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And then it was Gabriel again who spoke to Mary. Gabriel, whose name means God is mighty. And he came to Mary and told her that she was going to bear a child, even though she had not known man. God is mighty. The Holy Ghost would overshadow her. And that which would be born of her would be the Son of God. What a mystery this is. The mystery of the incarnation. The mystery of the conception of Jesus Christ. The mystery of his birth. All these things would be impossible, naturally speaking, but with God nothing. Why? Because God is mighty. And here we see the workings of the mighty God. Not only in the life of Elizabeth, but in the life of Mary. And think of something else. That the child that Mary would bear, yes, he would be called Jesus. Yes, he would be called the Son of the Highest. Yes, he would sit on the throne of David. But Jesus Christ is also the mighty God. For we read in Isaiah 49 and verse 26, "And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Those are the words of Christ. For he is our Savior and he is our Redeemer and he is the Mighty One of Jacob. So we have seen the month, we have seen the messenger, now let us see the message. The message Gabriel delivered was, of course, all about Christ, the promised Messiah. We know that from those familiar verses in verses 31 down to verse 35. And so the message was all about Christ. This was the message that every Jewish woman hoped that she would receive. Because in our study of the women of the Bible, we have noted that every Jewish woman hoped that she would be the mother of the promised Messiah. And that's why the likes of Hannah and others were so heartbroken, because they were barren until the Lord blessed them with children. And so every Jewish woman hoped that she would receive this message, that she would be the mother of the Savior, that she would be the mother of Messiah. But that message came to no one but Mary. The message was delivered to no one but Mary, who was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And there can be no doubt that this Mary is one of the most wonderful women that we will meet with anywhere. in God's Word. And she was a most wonderful mother. So what can we learn about Mary here in Luke chapter 1? We notice, first of all, Mary, the chosen mother. Over 400 years before this great event took place, the prophet Isaiah said that a woman would be chosen to be the mother of Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 7. And in Isaiah chapter 7, we have there the promise that was given, Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. And so there that promise was made back in the prophecy of Isaiah over 400 years before the actual event took place. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And that person was Mary. The prophecy was made in Isaiah. And already, when that prophecy was made in Isaiah 7 and 14, Mary had already been chosen in the mind of God. Through the foreknowledge of God, God had already chosen this woman to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at last, the answer was revealed. Who would be this woman? Who would be the virgin who would conceive and bear a son? The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee to a virgin, and the virgin's name was Mary. All has been revealed. Mary would be the mother of Christ. And as we look at this mother who was chosen, I want us to notice first of all Mary's humility. Mary's humility, the fact that she came from a place called Nazareth, speaks to us of her humility. Nazareth, you may be surprised to know, maybe not, but Nazareth is not mentioned at all in the Old Testament. We don't know or read about Nazareth until we come to the visit of Gabriel to Mary and Joseph. And so we can see from that Nazareth was an obscure place. Remember what Nathanael said? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a place despised. Nazareth was a place that was looked down upon by others, from those who came from larger cities and towns. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And yet it was Nazareth that the angel Gabriel went to. And it was to the house of Mary, who lived in Nazareth. And Mary was told she was going to be the mother of the Christ. Nazareth was an obscure place. Mary was an obscure person. Because not only is this the first time we read about Nazareth, it's the first time we're introduced to Mary. We don't know anything about Mary up until we get to this portion of Scripture here. And so we can see that Mary was just as obscure as the place. We know absolutely nothing about her prior to this event. The woman who was honored to be our Lord's mother was evidently a woman who was in a very humble position. We certainly know that she was poor. We know that. We know that Mary and Joseph were poor. Because when Christ was born and they took him up to the temple, when he was 8 days old, they took a sacrifice with them, but it was the sacrifice that had been provided for people who were poor. 2 turtle doves. They couldn't afford a lamb or a bullock. And the Lord provided for the poor and told them they could bring 2 turtle doves. Mary and Joseph, that's what they brought. And so we can see something about this woman and how this woman was humble, lived in a place like Nazareth. Of course, the Lord has often lifted people from obscurity and lifted them up and exalted them. We think of David. David, who became Israel's king. We read in 2 Samuel 7 and 8, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And so from following sheep, the Lord lifted David up and made him a king, the king of Israel. You think also of Moses. Moses was attending to his flocks, we're told, on the backside of the desert. He couldn't be any more obscure than that, in the backside of the desert. And yet, the Lord lifted Moses from the backside of the desert and put him in front of 2 million Israelites to be their leader and to lead them out of Egypt and to the edge of the promised land. You think of Amos. Amos, we are told, was one of the herdsmen of Tekoa. That's all he was. He was a herdsman. And yet the Lord took Amos and made him one of his fearless prophets. Now he has chosen a woman, living in obscurity, to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary was an obscure woman coming from an obscure place. I'll tell you something else about Mary. She was an ordinary woman. She may have lived in obscurity and she was also an ordinary woman. No, she couldn't be called a princess. I'll tell you something else. She's not even a queen. That's what Rome calls her. Rome calls her the Queen of Heaven. She's not a queen. She's not a princess. She wasn't even like Lydia, a seller of purple. No, Mary was an ordinary woman, an ordinary person. She was not a wealthy woman. Praise God, she wasn't a wild woman, and neither was she a worldly woman. No, the woman chosen to be the mother of Messiah was a quiet, unassuming, humble maiden. This reminds us of the words of the Savior. His own words in Matthew 23 and verse 12. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. We've often said, be careful what you ask for in prayer. Be careful if you ask the Lord to humble you, because he can certainly do it. And he will certainly humble you, maybe in a severe way. It's better to humble yourself. And here was Mary, a woman who had humbled herself. She was a humble woman, an ordinary woman. But the Lord said, he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And my, how Mary was exalted. This humble woman was exalted by God to be the mother of his son. There in verse 48, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. This reminds us, of course, of the child that she would bear. Christ is the humblest man who ever lived. And we read in Philippians 2 and verse 8 that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. A humble mother, a humble son, like mother. Notice not only her humility, but notice her purity. Rome, of course, teaches that Mary was a sinless woman. Now, Mary herself contradicts that. Mary tells us that she was not a sinless person. Because Mary said in her great song, verse 47, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. And so in those words, Mary is stating that she needed a Savior like every other woman. She wasn't sinless. Nevertheless, this woman who was chosen to be the mother of Christ was a pure woman. She lived a pure life. She most certainly was not what we would call today a loose woman, but kept herself pure. For we read in verse 27 that Gabriel was sent to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The word virgin in the Bible always refers to purity, to that which is pure. Over in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is addressing the church there at Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, this is what Paul says of the believers there. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What's Paul saying? Paul is saying, I have a love for you. And through my ministry, I want you to live a holy life. I want to present you to the Lord as a chaste virgin. I want to present you as pure, as holy. Something that's not preached today. That is something I'm afraid that is not emphasized today. Namely, the need for a holy life. Living a holy life, seeking after holiness, striving for holiness. Being holy even as the Lord is holy. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's what Paul was striving after for the church at Corinth. It's interesting, that word chaste that Paul uses. It's a word that means pure. He used the same word when addressing Timothy. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, for he said, neither be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. And the woman who was chosen by the Lord had kept herself pure. Something else is interesting here. That where the word virgin is used to describe Rebekah, who would be the wife of Isaac, there the word means separation. Genesis 24 verse 16. And so there the word means separation. And you can see, apply the meaning. Rebekah had kept herself separate. She had lived a separated life. Now, the angel comes to Mary in Nazareth. You know what Nazareth means? Nazareth means separation. And so we're reminded once again of this dear woman who lived a separated life, just like Rebekah. Mary lived a separated life. She was separated from the world. The Lord is not going to use someone who's in love with the world. The Lord's not going to use someone who's living for the devil. The Lord's not going to use anyone who's loose in their living. No. God will only choose those and use those who are separated unto Him. And if ever a woman was separated unto the Lord, it was Mary. And Mary was a separated woman, a holy woman, a pure woman. And Mary was the one the Lord chose to be the mother of Christ. We've seen her humility. We've seen her purity. Now we see Mary's spirituality. We're given a very brief summary of the spiritual nature of Mary here in verse 28 in our text. And the angel came into her home, dwelling place, and said, "Hail," just as the angel came into the tent to speak to Sarah about the son she would have. So the angel came into the house, the home of Mary, and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." There's her spirituality. It is seen, first of all, in the greeting. Because Gabriel says to Mary, "Hail." That word, "hail," there means to rejoice. And so the angel Gabriel is coming with good news. And it's good news about Christ. And so the angel says to Mary, "Rejoice. Rejoice because I have good news. You're going to be the mother of the Christ child." And you know there's something very wonderful there. The fact is that wherever Jesus comes to, He brings joy and He brings happiness. Whatever home the Lord Jesus enters, He brings joy and happiness to that home. Whatever heart He enters into, He brings joy and happiness into that heart. Why are there so many miserable, sad people in the world today? I'll tell you why. Because they don't have Christ. Oh, they spend their time looking at the wares and show and Vanity Fair. They run after the devil and try the trinkets of the world, but at the end of it all, there's still no happiness. The joy lasts for a season. But the joy that Christ brings and the joy that Christ gives is everlasting. There's love and life and everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. No wonder then Gabriel said to Mary, rejoice. Rejoice, Mary. You remember when the wise men came to the Christ child? We're told in Matthew 2 and verse 10, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Was it Mary that made them rejoice? Was it Joseph who made them rejoice? No, it was Christ. They rejoiced over Christ. The angels made the announcement to the shepherds. And the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good tidings of great joy. See? Wherever the Lord comes to, wherever he enters, he always brings joy. Joy and peace and happiness. A joy the world cannot give, and a joy the world cannot take away. That was the greeting. And then you notice the grace. Because the angel said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. Mary was highly favored. Those words simply mean graciously accepted. Or much graced. In other words, Mary received and enjoyed and was blessed by the grace of God. Because in God's grace, he had favored this woman, Mary, to be the mother of his son. Much graced. Now, Rome renders these words in an erroneous way, as you would well expect. Rome says these words mean Mary was full of grace. That's not what the word means. The grace referred to was not the grace that was in Mary. Wasn't as if that Mary had grace and was able to bestow that grace onto others. That's the teaching of Rome, you see. You pray to Mary and she bestows her grace to you. But the thing is, that's not what the Bible teaches. These words don't mean that Mary was full of grace. They mean that Mary received grace. And it was the grace of God. God showed grace to Mary. And of all the women in Israel, the Lord chose Mary. And that was an act of God's matchless, sovereign, marvelous grace. Notice the guarantee. The angel gives Mary a guarantee. The angels came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. That's a guarantee. Mary, the Lord is with thee. Not just the Lord will be with thee, the Lord is with thee. Now you think of Mary receiving this news, having this great mystery revealed to her that she was going to have a child, and yet she had never known man and she wasn't married. You can understand the things that went through Mary's mind. She would have been fearful and frightened. But the angel said, it's all right, Mary, the Lord is with thee. Mary, being the woman that she was, would be comforted by those words. Words which have brought comfort to many of the Lord's people down through the years. Many times have you and I been frightened and fearful. And the Spirit of the Lord has brought to our minds the words of Christ, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And we have taken those words to our heart and say, "I'm all right, it's all right. The Lord's with me." And here was Mary, she had many things to face. And she would have been afraid because the angel said to her, "Fear not," verse 30. "Fear not, Mary." You notice he addresses her by name. He knew her personally. He knew all about her. And he knew that she was fearful. He said, "The Lord's with me." Sometimes we use those words in our farewell. We say bye to someone and say, "May the Lord be with thee." And I tell you, it's good to know that the Lord is with us. Then you have her glory. Verse 28 again, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." We have to contradict Rome again. Well, we let the Bible contradict Rome. Rome teaches that Mary was blessed above women. No, she wasn't. We read here that Mary was blessed among women. See, she was just a woman like everyone else. We have seen her purity, her humility, her spirituality. And the Lord blessed her. We are told in the verse 28, "Blessed art thou among women." We're told again in verse 42, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women." And in Mary's song, we read in verse 48, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And how blessed Mary was. She was a blessed woman indeed. Because she would be the mother of Christ. She would carry the Christ child in her womb. And I tell you, any man or woman, any boy or girl who has Christ in their heart, they're a blessed people. Blessed means happy. And once again, Christ brings happiness. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. Have you got your sins covered? Have your transgressions been forgiven? You'll never be happy until your sin has been dealt with. You'll never know what true happiness is until you have Christ in your heart. Doesn't matter what you have in the world. Doesn't matter what you find in the world. Doesn't matter what the world gives you. You'll never have happiness until you find it in Jesus Christ. Here's Mary, and she was told the voice. And she was told that she was blessed. We have much more to say in these verses, but we'll leave that till next week as we continue this study in the life of this wonderful woman, this wonderful mother, who was the mother of our Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious God, We bow before Thee in the Saviour's name. We thank Thee, Lord, that wherever our dear Saviour goes, He brings joy and happiness. He brings joy to the heart, happiness to the soul. We thank Thee, Lord, for all today who have Christ in their heart, who know about the joy of the Lord, that it is their strength, that they know about the joy that only Christ can give. No, Lord, for any others who have never experienced that joy. Their sins are there open, bare before a holy God. Lord, may they come today and have their sins put beneath the blood. Then they will experience the joy and the happiness that Christ brings.